April 25, 1951. Note the quote. This is not the television version, but the original radio version.
Welcome again to Ivy. Ivy College, that is, in the town of Ivy, USA. As you enter the gate of Ivy College, you enter a world that is dedicated to the principle, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's mid-morning at number one Faculty Row, the home of Dr. William Todd Hunter Hall, president of Ivy, and his wife, Victoria. And since Dr. Hall has presumably left for his office, and Mrs. Hall is visiting a neighbor, their housekeeper, Alice, has started on her chores with zeal and zest. But Alice doesn't know that Dr. Hall has been delayed by a phone call from Mr. Wellman, who made an appointment to see him at number one Faculty Row.
Well, shall we try it? From the top.
Fondly, oh, fondly, wert thou near me, wert thou near me. Once we kiss the love, once we kiss love on thy lips.
Uh-oh. Habanera from Carmen. This is really more my type. Contralto.
Good day, Tony. What you gone?
No, dear. I'm waiting for Mr. Wellman.
Oh.
Listen.
Who's giving the party?
In the current idiom, Alice is having herself a ball.
If I love you, beware of me. If you don't love me, don't love me. Then I will love her, have you.
I love you if I love you. Do you think we better break it up before she breaks up?
Like the heart of the composer.
Plenty more composers as Alice and Larynx I was thinking about.
I'll call Professor Gregory in anatomy. He may know of a good second-hand larynx dealer. Yes, don't let her stop you.
What stopped you? Huh? I didn't know. You said don't.
They let me know it wouldn't have happened.
Oh, not my fault. I didn't know they were home. The music is right there on the piano.
Can I get by, please? I have an appointment with Dr. Hall.
Very embarrassing, after all. I didn't want anybody to see my pivots. They're pretty rusty.
I thought
we'd
better make it about
5:00. Yes, better make it 5:00.
Hello, Mr. Wellman. Dr. Hall, you'd better do something about that maid of yours. I never do know what she's talking about, but now she says she has rusty pivots.
Won't you sit down, Mr. Wellman? Good morning.
And it is a good morning, Mrs. Hall. Good fortune has descended on Ivy.
You do sound unusually cheerful this morning.
Well, why shouldn't I be? Where else could we get the funds to start building the new wing on the college library? I'll be that. Where else?
Well, since I don't know which is the where, how can I tell what is the else?
Else what?
Maybe it's elsewhere.
But I told you there's nowhere else. Now you've got me all... Where am I? Oh, yes. You see, if we let them do the radio program on the campus, we get all the publicity, and they give us a nice contribution to the library fund besides.
Radio program?
Yes. Note the quote.
Note what quote?
No, that's the name of the program, William. Note the quote. You see, it's a kind of a contest, only instead of throwing pies at each other, they throw quotations.
A fine volley of words, gentlemen, and quickly shut off.
What are you talking about, Dr. Hall?
Well, I was just throwing you a quote, Mr. Wellman. Shakespeare. Two Gentlemen of Verona.
What for? I'm not going to be on the program. I just made the arrangements.
Victoria, you say you've heard this program?
Yes. It tours all over the country, broadcast from a different place every week. You see, the idea is to pit the two intellectual giants of the community against each other.
Intellectual giants, eh?
Two considered to have the best knowledge of literature.
Best knowledge of...
And then, on the night of the program, the two giants meet head-on and boom! The winner is declared the quotable notable.
Quotable notable, I see. Mr. Wellman, you say whoever is running this contest would make a contribution to our library fund?
I was very specific, Dr. Hall. Weren't you listening?
And here at Ivy, our students would vote for their candidate for the intellectual giant of the community?
Yeah, they always choose two, William.
Two? Yeah. Well, now I wonder what other... what two giants do you suppose the students would select?
Never mind about that, Dr. Hall. That'll all be taken care of. All I want from you now is your permission.
Well, the art of quoting is a sadly neglected one. But no. This is not at all in line with what we... However, such a program might be useful in proving to the students that we... On the other hand, I don't think we should have...
Mr. Perot, meet Mr. Kahn.
I know. Quote, do I contradict myself? Very well, I contradict myself. I am large, I contain multitudes, unquote. Leaves of Grass, Walt Whitman.
I knew you'd see it my way, Dr. Hall, and that's all I have to say. Mr. Harrison will be calling on you any minute now to explain details.
Mr. Harrison?
He's in charge, and please tell him I couldn't wait. Goodbye.
Now, here's a man coming over to see me before I've even said yes. How did Mr. Wellman know I would approve?
Mr. Wellman, darling, is no gambler. He only bets on certainties. He could see your Achilles heel showing right through your sock.
Quotations, eh?
Hi, honey, I'm Harrison.
Hi.
Is the good doctor available, or is he out carving up the curriculum?
Mr. Harrison, you sound just the way you do on your radio show. You are a scream.
And you're a dream for saying so. Here's a couple of tickets to this week's opera. Remember, sit down front and lap it up.
Excuse me, Dr. Hall. Mr. Harrison's here. She probably heard.
Ah, yes. Come
Dr.
in, Mr.
Hall.
This is Mrs. Hall.
My pleasure, Mrs. Hall.
How do you do, Mr. Harrison? Won't you sit down?
Yeah, thank you. You know, I can't tell you how happy we are to be here on your campus, Dr. Hall. You and us, we'll educate each other.
Well, now, I understand that you're connected with the radio program, Mr. Harrison.
Oh, not Mr. Dr. Hall. Call me Chuckle. That's all my friends call me.
I can't imagine them calling you Sorrowful Jones.
No, you can't.
Well, now, Chuckles, don't you find this habitual gaiety a little wearing at times?
I sure do, boy. This chin-up business leaves you wide open for a cutthroat. By the time I get this week's program off the ground and on somebody's air, there'll probably be a little man following me around with a net.
So that's the way the radio net works.
I tell you, this voting to elect the two contestants is always a headache.
Well, you mean they're already voting?
Sure, my slaves are counting them up right this minute. Why? You want to check on the lucky locals before we make it official?
Oh, no, Mr. Harrison, no. I was just a little surprised at the speed with which you radio people get things done.
Yes, you see, my husband only agreed to the idea of the program a few minutes ago.
He did? Mm-hmm. Well, who slipped up? Mr. Wellman gave me the green light a week ago.
Well, the speed of light seems to have been overestimated. It only reached us this morning.
Oh, say, that's a goodie. You know something? If I were voting, I'd vote for you, Dr. Hall.
Well, thank you, but no. No, I should think the students would name someone like Professor Harshberger in etymology. He's popularly known as a walking encyclopedia.
Not since he lost his appendix.
Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, Mrs. Hall, you should write for television. They need you.
Tell me, Mr. Harrison... when a quiz show ends its appointed round, when it goes to the happy hunting ground assigned to extinct radio shows, do they call it a dead giveaway?
You two are a riot. Give that couple a carton of diamond-studded golf balls.
Excuse me. Hello, Dr. Hall speaking. Oh, yes, he's here. It's for you, Mr. Harrison.
Oh, thanks. That'll be Eugene. That you, Eugene? Well, happy day. Go ahead, read them to me, Violet, in pear-shaped tones. The results are in. This is it. Yeah, thank you very much, Eugene. With this, you have won your freedom. I shall strike off your chains this night, and you may go with Guy Lombardo.
Well, who won?
Dr. Hall, may I be the first to congratulate
you. Oh, Johnny, you made it.
But I didn't even know I was... Oh, no, I couldn't possibly... Did I really?
How could you miss? And you're supposed to be a chap named Bradley B. Bradley.
Who?
Bradley B. who?
Bradley B. Bradley versus William Todd Hunter Hall. And tomorrow's the night you two intellectual Paul Bunyans beat your brains out. Meantime, I have to run my legs off. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mr. Harrison. Now, who can Bradley B. Bradley be? Vicky, he's probably an expert on Milton and Longfellow. Two areas I'm afraid I've avoided and neglected.
Good morning, Dr. Hall.
Hi, Dick.
Congratulations, sir. I just heard the good news.
Oh, thank you.
You and old Brad. Wow.
Yeah, Dick, who is this Bradley B. Bradley?
Yes.
We've never heard of him.
Oh, really? Gosh, I thought everyone knew him. But then you've preserved your valuable lives by avoiding Ulster Gulch, haven't you?
Ulster Gulch? Oh, you mean the malt shop on Fraternity Row. Huh?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, that Brad, the young man behind the counter. Yes, I know him. By sight, that is. I've watched him through the window flipping hamburgers with the facility of a Chinese juggler.
He's a million left. You've got yourself some stiff competition, sir. That Brad, he's really Moldavius.
Moldavius?
Yeah, Moldavius. That's a superlative of Magnolius, meaning immensical and galuptious.
Hey, how about that galuptious? Say, Mrs. Hall, you're really gone.
Well, I'm not gone. I'm still here waiting patiently to find out about Bradley B. Bradley's middle B.
Well, that's for Bartlett, his mother's maiden name.
Oh, any relation to the quotations, Bartlett?
Well, Brad claims his mother wrote them. He knows practically all of them backwards. But then I'll bet you do too, Dr. Hall.
Not backwards, no.
Well, if you'll excuse me, I've got a class. I'll be rooting for you tomorrow night, Dr. Hall. Bye, Mrs. Hall.
Goodbye.
Bye, Latimer.
You know, Vicky, if this Bradley has really memorized Bartlett's quotations, I've got a match on my hands.
Oh, but darling, Bartlett isn't the only authority on quotations.
Well, no, there's Benham, very good source, and Mencken's rather monumental contribution, and then there are some good ones.
There you are. You see, I'll bet you he's just a one-book man. You know them all.
Oh, I'd hardly say that, my dear. But the question is, can a quotatious college president stand up to a Moldavius hamburger flipper?
Canopy knows his onions.
And now to return to the halls of Ivy. In this case, to the Ivy Malt Shop, where Victoria Hall has come to, to case the joint, as it were, and find out all she can about Bradley Bartlett Bradley, Dr. Hall's opponent in the scheduled Note the Quote broadcast.
Why, hello, Mrs. Hall.
Hello.
Oh, greetings. Come to pick up a case of indigestion?
But no, just background information. I'm Martha Hara, here on a dangerous assignment. And you don't know me. What?
Get with it, Sue. Can't you see she just dropped in behind the enemy lines?
Oh, Bradley.
Mm-hmm.
If you need an interpreter, I'm available.
Oh, well, it's all right. I think I speak the language, if Moldavius is the right password.
You speak it fluently.
And we never saw you.
Take your order, ma'am?
Yes. I'll have a malt.
What kind? We have chocolate, strawberry, pineapple, cherry, banana.
No, I think I'll have vanilla. Well, I know it isn't very imaginative, but I don't really care whether people turn round and say, who is that interesting woman over there who's just ordered a marzipan malt?
But vanilla, ma'am? Don't you know that variety is the very spice of life? William Cooper. But on the other hand, you could be right. The steadfast man hath all my awe. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow.
Well, never sell Longfellow short, I always say. You like Longfellow, do you?
Great man. 7.5 pages in Bartlett's.
Get him, the big quote man.
You like quotations, too, do you?
I'll tell you confidentially, ma'am. The food here's not very good. Now, some people disguise their chow with ketchup. Others use mustard. Me, I use quotations. Hamburgers a la Hugo. Chaucer with every cup. I hide the grub with the gab. One vanilla malt coming up.
And Bradley, don't forget my second hamburger.
One man's meat is another man's poison. Beaumont and Fletcher.
Give you a tip. Don't ask him for a glass of water.
Well, thanks. Why not? Little drops of water turning into ice make the cocktail shaker tinkle very nice. Louisa May Alcott.
That's very good. If you ask Bradley for a glass of water, he'll recite 14 verses of a rhyme of the Ancient Mariner. And it's beginning to bore me.
Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Proverbs chapter 8.
Well, thank you. But what happened to the Ancient Mariner?
He's sick of it. Want anything with your malt?
No, thank you, Mr. Bradley.
Oh, don't stand in formality. Call me by my first name.
Oh, all right. Bradley?
Yes, ma'am.
I understand that you've been chosen to compete against the president of Ivy College in that radio program tomorrow.
Yeah. My first time out, and I have to meet the champ.
Oh, well, you should be pleased. They really threw you a laurel wreath.
Laurel wreath? Laurel is green for a season, and laurel outlives not May, Swinburne. I'm scared silly.
Likely story.
They say Dr. Hall can quote you right into a corner. Now, I'll probably lead with a light Longfellow and get not cockeyed with a short Shelley.
Well, not that I want to wish you any bad luck or anything, but I must confess I agree with them. You see, I'm in Dr. Hall's corner.
Naturally, you being his wife.
Oh, you knew who I was?
Yes, Mrs. Hall.
Oh.
And what a corny act you put on.
Well, I figured you were out scouting for your side.
Well, I was, and I'm afraid I was a little corny, too.
Well, anyway, I'm certainly glad that you dropped by. And tell Dr. Hall that I'm mighty proud to be on the same program with him.
Plenty apprehensive.
Well, why don't you drop by our house and tell him that yourself? I know he's dying to meet you.
May I really?
Sure, about 8 o'clock.
Fine, I'll be there. Later.
Later, fine. How about now? How about my hamburger? How about her malt?
Oh, yeah, I almost forgot. I'll be right back.
Hi, Mrs. Hall. I'm with you.
I chose my wife as she did her wedding gown. Not for a fine, glossy surface, but such qualities as would wear well.
Oh, well, let me know if my surface gets glossy and I'll go and powder my nose.
It's Oliver Goldsmith, the Vicar of Wakefield. My move. Fools rush in where angels fear to tread.
Oh, that's a good one, Bradley. I got tripped up myself on that one once. It's like trying to remember how many L's in parallel. You know, but when you stop to...
Darling, William?
No, dear, no. Just savoring the fact that I know the answer. Fools rush in. It's Alexander Pope, Essay on Criticism.
That particular line is a favorite of mine, and for the darndest reason. A footnote to it started me reading Shakespeare.
Well, any reason is a good one. But what footnote would that be?
Wrens make prey where eagles dare not perch.
Yes, yes, King Richard III.
That's my boy.
I read the whole play after that, and I haven't stopped reading him since.
Yes, until you open a new door, you can never tell how many rooms lie beyond.
Yes, the door reminds me. I've got to open up in the morning.
Well, I've enjoyed this very much, Mr. Bradley.
I've had a wonderful time, too, except for the crick in my neck, watching you two at tennis.
Oh, well, you're a wonderful audience, Mrs. Hall. You know, I just love quotations. Somehow all the words seem to be in the right places.
Well, every book is a quotation. Every house is a quotation out of all forests and mines and stone quarries. And every man is a quotation from all his ancestors.
Yep, Ralph Waldo Emerson.
Well, good night, boys.
Good night.
Good night.
See you in the ring tomorrow night.
He has an incredible memory, hasn't he?
Total recall. I believe he does know most of Bartlett.
Well, you two certainly had a good workout tonight.
You know, I'm rather looking forward to this contest after all. Even though this tag end of the Bartlett line could beat me, you realize that?
Well, do you want me to answer that as your wife or tell you how I'm going to bet?
All I know is I'm going in there punching. I'm going to moiter him.
Oh, get you, killer! You better have a shower and a rub down before you turn in, champ.
Yes.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's our time and your time to note the quote. But first, we note our two contestants. The men voted the highest QQ at Ivy. QQ, that's quotation quotient, folks. And here they are, Mr. Bradley B. Bradley. And Dr. William Todhunter Hall. We conduct our little quiz session along the lines of a college course. You know, make it a cinch to start, and then sock it to them with a final exam. Nothing. Okay, Dr. Hall, you're on. And here's one right up your alley, professionally speaking, of course. Now, listen. Who said, a learned man is an idler who kills time by study?
George Bernard Shaw. Oh, good heavens, what is that?
That means you're on the beam, Doctor.
Oh, and what happens if I'm not?
Let's hope you never find out. Now, for the other half of our Bartlett Fair. Mr. Bradley, we understand you're in the catering profession, and we've picked out a fine dish for you. A perpetual feast of nectared sweets where no crude surfeit reigns.
John Milton from Comus.
A promising start. And now for the second round. Watch your step, gentlemen. All right, Dr. Hall, try your memory on this. And I warn you, the going is going to get rougher and rougher. Now, Mr. Bradley, this is your last question. And it's right to the point. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Take an extra second if you wish. Yeah, I'll repeat it.
It's from the Bible, of course. It's the second epistle of Paul the Apostle to Timothy.
Ladies and gentlemen, for the first time in the history of Note the Quote, both contestants have a perfect score. Our sponsors are only too happy to give a financial contribution to the Ivy Library Fund. And to our contestants, our special citation, Quarters of the Week. Well, they've solved all their problems, but they left me with one. Due to their rapid-fire answers, we're 2 minutes short. Well, that's radio for you. Dr. Hall, would you like to say a few words? Add a few libs?
Oh, no, thank you, no. I'm afraid I'm not very... well, yes, if you don't mind. Ladies and gentlemen, it was Emerson who wrote, "By necessity, by proclivity, and by delight, we all quote." See, here I am quoting Emerson. And why? Because that is precisely what I wanted to say, and he said it so well. After all, quoting is a recognition of truth. We all enjoy this same rich heritage of the world's beauty and wisdom. It is our common property.
Why, Dr. Hall, that's terrific. I'll bet you've been on the radio before.
Now, who ever heard of a college president going on the radio? How much time have I got?
Minute 20. Leave him alone, Harrison. He's going great.
Thank you. In that case, if I may throw one more quotation at my friend Mr. Bradley, I will gladly offer him the same opportunity.
Well, okay, but remember, this is strictly unofficial. The contest is over and it remains a tie.
Yes, very well. Methinks the truth should live from age to age, as 'twere retailed to all posterity, even to the general all-ending day.
Shakespeare, Richard III.
That is absolutely right. The remarkable thing is that this quotation is not included in Bartlett's Book of Quotations, which is my friend's specialty. But it makes my point. Mr. Bradley knows Richard III because he followed a footnote in Bartlett's to its source. You see, the discovery of a small piece of gold can lead to the world's treasury.
Your turn, sir. Go right ahead.
Well, this should be an easy one for you, Dr. Hall, and it's in line with what you just said. Until you open a new door, you can never tell how many rooms lie beyond.
Oh, of course, yes. Yes, indeed. That's one of my favorites. Oh, that's a great one. It's by... wait a minute. I seem to have heard it recently, too. One of my favorite authors.
That should be plenty of time for that one. It's by Dr. William Todd Hunter Hall of Ivy College.
How do you like that? Thanks to Copper. Dr. Hall remembers everything but something he said himself.
Well, since you put it that way, Mr. Harrison, you've indicated one real danger in this game of quotes. If to say what you want to say, you rely too much upon what other people have said, you may forget what it is that you should have said, because, after all, it was you who wanted to say it. Now, how much time have we?
You're off the air.
In a moment, we'll return to the Halls of Ivy.
I'm very proud of you, darling. You were the answer to a maiden's prayer,
and a quizmaster's question.
Well, I think that Bradley was quite a worthy antagonist. In fact, as a friendly gesture, I'd like to stop in at Ulster Gulch tomorrow and buy you a strawberry malt.
Oh, can you make it a Sunday?
I can make it any day you like, my sweet. And I shall look forward to our mutual refreshment at the soda fountain of youth.